7, verses 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east to west, from north to south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us.
Thank you. Our second scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within you, thanks be to God. Our scripture lesson today comes from a portion of the scripture known as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus had gathered his disciples around him. The crowds had begun to come. But on this day, Jesus took his disciples up to the mountain and sat them down and imparted lesson after lesson to them of things they needed to know. I want you to imagine a little bit what it must have been like to be these disciples, people that Jesus had just gone to and said, follow me, and they followed him into the unknown, into a life lived homeless, not knowing where their next meal would be. These men had all come from situations where they may have had a hard life. You had fishermen who toiled hard, but they had some stability. They knew where their meals were coming from. They knew where they were going to lay their head. Yes, they had concerns about life on the sea, but basically they knew what was going to happen to them. You had tax collectors who were hated, but they were wealthy. They knew where their food was coming from, certainly, and they had nice houses. But they all followed Jesus into the unknown. Now, this passage today comes right after a passage where Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You can either serve God or you can serve money. So a lot of this was about the fact that money should not be important to them, that they shouldn't worry. And as I was reading this scripture, and somebody mentioned it to me earlier today, I had already decided it was going to be included in it. Many of you may remember back in 1988, there was a cute little ditty song that came out by Bobby McFerrin. He wrote it and he sang it, Don't Worry, Be Happy. And that's kind of the way when you first read this scripture that you feel, you know, don't worry about anything. Everything's going to take care of itself. You know, Bobby McFerrin said, if you have no money, no problem. If you have no place to lay your head, no problem. And yet that's not something most of us are willing to do because it is important to us. We want to know where our next meal's coming from. We want to know where we're going to lay our head. And that's not really what this passage is about. Jesus isn't saying to his disciples, you shouldn't worry about that because we all know that food's necessity. Yes, where we sleep, we can sleep outside, which they often did. But the necessities of life are important to us. But what this scripture is about, it's a call to action. Worry can do two things. I love Sue's. Sue and I had talked earlier because she said she always is concerned when she does a children's sermon that she's going to talk about the same thing. I said, but it's okay because in that children's message, she offered some great insight into what worry is. Worry can do two things. Worry can incite you to action. It can make you think of ways to deal with what you're worried about. Or it can paralyze you. It can make you exhausted. At the women's gathering this week, the idea of that being awake all night came up. And I've got to tell you, sometimes when scriptures are given to us, we discover that it's speaking to us as much as to anybody that we might be speaking to out there. That idea of worrying, because I'm one of those that will lay awake all night when I have something big going on. 3 o'clock in the morning, I may get a couple hours sleep. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm awake thinking about it. And you know what it does? It doesn't solve a thing, except making me exhausted in the morning and not able to be active. And one of the things we talked about, because we were talking about meditation at the PW gathering, that one of the ways I deal with that when I find myself awake worrying, is I do breathing prayer. Something like, as you breathe in, Jesus Christ, Son of God, and as I breathe out, it's grant me your peace. And I've discovered that if I do that, suddenly I'm back to sleep. And in the morning, I can deal with that thing I was worried about. That's one of the things about worry. Jesus didn't ask his disciples not to worry. He looked at situations and worried. But there's a difference between worrying about things and letting anxiety and stress take over. One of the lines in this passage is, worry will not add a day to your life. But you know what? Worry can detract from your life. We've all discovered, they didn't know this back in Jesus' day, what stress and worry can do to you. But we know today some of the things stress can do to us. I was online the other day and I saw one of those 10 things stress can do. Things we don't even think about. We all know that it can contribute to heart attacks and strokes and things like that. But it can do little things. It can create rashes. Yes, it can keep you awake. It can cause hair loss. There's lots of little things that stress can do that we can never not even think about. But if we work to get over that stress, we can better serve God by turning that worry into action. One of the things that we can do, Sue said one very important one, pray. And meditation is part of that prayer. That's why when I've discovered when I'm awake at night, if I do that meditation, it relaxes me and it can make me better for action. But we can pray for others. But we can also listen for God's will for us. But the action's the big thing. You know, this is Gifts of Women Sunday. And I love their program that they're doing through November. One of the things we can do to get rid of anxiety, worry, is think about the good things in our life. Because when we think about the good things, it helps us not focus so much on the things that are troubling us. If we take time to remember those gifts we have, So I'm encouraging all of you between now and November, you can put one in every week. You can put multiple ones in. Allow the gifts that are in your life to take away that anxiety that can paralyze you, that can make your life difficult. Yes, we all have things in our life that are difficult. We have challenges. When Jesus talked about the birds of the air have food, we know that the birds work hard for their food. They're perhaps some of the hardest working creatures there are, because birds eat many times their weight every day. You don't do that by just sitting around waiting for something to happen. You've got to get out and work. We know that the flowers are beautiful, but they only last a day or two. Anxiety can paralyze us, but action can help things be better. Looking for what the challenge is and working for it. I look at some of the things the women of this church, because today we're specifically looking at the gifts of women. I know one woman who saw over at Skycrest that they had a challenge. They had a staff member leave, and the other staff members were struggling to keep up with the work. Tina Harvey said, "I can help out. I've got office experience. I've got administrative experience." Tina's been working over there full time now for 2 months. Every time I go there, the staff person, the paid person, tells me how much difference Tina has made in her life. She saw a need, and she stepped out to meet it. There's other women here. Beverly saw a need with foster children who needed something in their life that could help them feel better. Beverly started a program, Sewing Hope, and they make blankets for foster children, something that gives those children something they can hang on to, something permanent in their life when they're in so much struggle. And many of the women in this church help with that. This morning, we were very blessed with lots of music, beautiful music. People who have gifts that they're willing to step up, that see a need in the church for speaking to God with music, for helping us all worship more through the gift of music. Each of you have got a gift. Sometimes we don't even realize it. Sometimes we don't acknowledge it. Sometimes we're too frozen to even use that gift. But Jesus says, don't worry. God cares about us, and God wants us to use our gifts in any way we can. There's a lot of exciting things going on in this church, and it's because of the gifts of people that are stepping up. The women, and yes, the men too, because we are all God's children and we all have an important part to play, because it's as we each use our gifts. And there's many levels. Many of you I know have reached a point in your life where it's difficult physically to do things, but there's still things that can be done. You can make phone calls. You can write cards. You can bake cookies. There's a lot of names I could name today. People that have given gifts for many years. People who have touched me and how they've served. Every one of us has people who have touched our lives that have helped make us the people we are. My first pastor that I worked with down in St. Petersburg was pastor at Westminster. We worked together for 7 years, and we were very close. From the day we met, it was like there was one of those bonds. He died fairly unexpectedly this week at the age of 64. The messages that have been on Facebook about how David touched people's lives were just incredible. people still from Westminster, and we've been gone from there for almost 10 years now, people who had their lives changed by David. You too can be the kind of person that changes people's lives. How can you do that? Do you let worry stand in the way of you being able to say to somebody, come with me to church this Sunday, or come to this special event we're having? That's probably one of the most difficult things most of us have, is that being willing to say, I have a special place that means a lot to me. Come, join me. That's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. You made a decision. You said you'd follow me. And I'm sure there were days where they were ready to go back to their fishing boats or go back to their tax collector's job or wherever else they came from. It was probably a challenge all the time for Jesus to get them to overcome their anxiety, because before long they weren't going to just be following him. They were going to have to step out on faith. They were going to have to get over their own anxiety, and they were going to have to go out and heal and preach and spread the word of God. That too is your challenge. When you leave these walls today, look for those ways that you too can spread God's love to the world that so greatly needs it. Amen.
A litany for women with grateful hearts. God of grace, thank you for tranquil, reflective moments when we are able to recognize you in the world. For all your beauty and your wonder, we give thanks. For the breath in our bodies, for our hearts and souls, for our connections with one another, we give you thanks and praise.
God of reconciliation, be present with us when conflicts arise. Remind us that we have a higher calling to forgive those who wrong us, to pray for those who persecute us, and to seek peace in the midst of strife.
God of love, we offer our gratitude to you for these women and men who have comforted us and carried us in their hearts in prayer, for the grace that they have given us day after day. Thank you for guiding the way for lives filled with gratitude. For women, young and old, who do justice of kindness and walk humbly with you, O God, we give you thanks and praise.
Creator God, be present with us as we sing and serve. Remember and celebrate your daughters who, with your help, have lived lives of gratitude, reflecting your love and grace. Give us your peace, which surpasses our understanding, and watch over our hearts and our minds as we rest in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. Great and loving God, we give thanks today for this opportunity to come together, to share this meal together, to remember those great gifts you've given us. We give thanks that by this meal we are nourished, we are challenged, we are encouraged. Help us use this meal to feed us and to feed the world, that as we go out of these walls, we will find ways to get over that anxiety that so often challenges us, that even paralyzes us. That as we go seek to do your work, we are fed by that great love that was shown to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before we have our responsive charge and blessing, I would invite you to, following that charge and blessing, to sit and to enjoy our postlude and to show appreciation to the talents that are given to us each week in the postlude. I'll also remind you next week to turn your clocks ahead 1 hour, and if you're worried that you might be late for church, do something about it and set an alarm. And now, go from here with grateful hearts. Go with love and compassion. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May the peace of God be with you always. Please be seated.